Hello and welcome to Shine Women. I'm Sandra Pollock, one of the co-sponsors. Sponsors? Where did I get that word from? founders to Shine, and welcoming you to this month's. Do you know, my mind is so out of it today. That's another long story. But welcoming to you to this month's podcast with myself and my co-founder, Leanne. Leanne, say hello.
Hello and welcome to our podcast series. I'm Leanne Bonner Cook, MBE, co-founder of Shine Together. And we're looking forward to joining our guest today, who is Pippa Thomas, director from Freeman Clark. And Pippa, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Thank you very much, Sandra and Leanne. Yes, so Pippa Thomas, director at Freeman Clark. We help businesses with their technology challenges. We work with businesses, usually who are growing, ambitious businesses, who have a business growth plan, and we help them come up with a technology roadmap to help them meet their business goals.
All right, that sounds really interesting. I like that term, technology roadmap, because if I'm honest, when I started my business, yes, you know, you've got to have some elements of technology and that sort of stuff. But actually, to think of a roadmap, I must admit, I didn't look at it that way at all. So it's quite an interesting concept. How did you get into that?
So I come from a kind of science and maths background going way back. And our technologists, those of us in Freeman Clark, we've got business backgrounds and a way, I think, of speaking about technology in terms that people understand. So straightforward English, and it's very much linking business objectives and having a technology roadmap to support the business. And we start with clients in all sorts of different ways. There's no two businesses the same. So they might have a specific technology challenge that starts off the relationship, or they might be struggling with that insourced, outsourced debate of, you know, do I have internal IT resource or do I have external resource? Or they might have lots of point systems and no integration. Or they may be having, in this day and age, we have quite a lot of people, unfortunately, who are having cyber incidents. And so what they've been doing today needs to be reviewed urgently and changes made. So there's all sorts of different ways in which we start with businesses. But before long, we like to lay down a roadmap with options. We think about, you know, the cost of things, how long it will take to implement, but something that matches that business's aspirations.
Thanks for explaining that. It actually makes a lot of sense. So if you think of technology and that side of things, how did you as an individual, Pippa, get into that? What's your journey been like?
So after my science degree, I thought it might be quite interesting to go into marketing. And I actually headed down that route briefly. And I worked for a kind of blue chip business that, you know, sort of well-known business on a young manager development program. And they moved me around into different roles. And they decided that my kind of math science approach was... I don't know why there's not more women who are into maths and science. It's kind of like and technology. It's one of my frustrations, actually. But I suppose I possibly, like some other women, you know, the attractiveness of marketing and that side of things was rather overwhelming. Anyway, some very wise people could see better than I could what were my strengths actually were, and pointed me into kind of processes technology, and I've been in that area ever since, so since my 20s, and it's actually stood me well, and I'm absolutely passionate about what I do, absolutely love it. And this challenge of growing businesses, looking at your kind of, if you like, your as-is processes, your future state ones, you know, you'll get to a certain size and you can't keep doing what you've been doing. Well, you can, but it's not going to go so well because you'll just have to add more and more people in to do the same tasks and make the same errors and do the same cutting and pasting. So looking at, you know, okay, What do we want to do going forward? How can we do it? Are we open to change? And how can technology help? That all of that has been what my career has been about. And I'm very, very keen on, you know, women thinking about opportunities in this area, because actually there are so many opportunities. I don't know about yourself and Leanne, but I frequently find myself in rooms of people where I'm the only woman. There can be 20 men and one woman. Yeah. And actually, that's no better than it was 30 years ago. And I don't know why, but it's something that I'm keen to promote.
I concur with you wholeheartedly, yes. being in that technology space myself before. And I think it's tough, but my personal opinion is that I don't think in the education system that we have, we talk about technology early enough in the curriculum, and we don't make it seem exciting. So when you look at the curriculum, it comes in too late in schools. It's focused a lot on gaming and things like that. So there's a lack of awareness about the opportunities for females within the technology space as well. So I've seen some improvements during my journey in tech, but still not whole, you know, not a great deal in reality. And, you know, again, you go to IT conferences, it's just you. So yeah, it's really, really interesting. And, you know, even from the client base that you have, do you see that same demographic within the clients that you've got as well, that it's generally males that you're working with?
It is generally within the technology team. I'm seeing more and more female leaders of businesses, or I don't know whether it's that we're attracted to each other or that is statistically the way that it is, but I'm working with some really interesting women, business leaders and board members. And they are actually, the board members are our main touch points. I mean, we obviously work with the technology team, but our main engagement is with the founders, chief exec, the board of a business, trying to make sense of technology in straightforward business language, and then taking away those actions and kind of working with the technology teams. But yes, you're absolutely right. Those technology teams are male dominated. And it's, I like working with men. I work with a lot of men, but it is just noticeable how male dominated it is. I can't actually think of a female developer I'm working with at the moment. I've got female in the different client settings. I can think of sort of application support managers, female, and some IT project managers, but, you know, lead developers, they're very, very few and far between.
Yeah, exactly the same experience. So it's interesting, isn't it? And I think, but it's great having females like yourself within the industry. And I think, you know, that's what we're about here at Shine Together. It's about elevating people to encourage them into their future and to, you know, actually you can be successful in this profession. And therefore, you know, we should like encourage you to do that and to be whatever you want to be, really. And it is an exciting industry to be in as well, isn't it? I mean, you know, what gives you that buzz in the industry?
I mean, it's so challenging, isn't it? And the you know, no single human being in technology can possibly be current on all aspects of it. And that means we have to lean on each other. So in Freeman Clark, there are about 100 of us in the UK and about 15 of us in the US. And so we liaise every day. We're really collegiate. The people we want in our business, we want them to be collegiate, to be kind of continual learners. And that really suits me. Like, every day I learn something new. Every day there's a challenge. I have to really think. And I love that, actually. There's not many industries that are so fast moving and so kind of fast changing. And when we come across actually lone technology folk in a business, I really feel for them, because somebody who's trying to deliver everything that the board wants doesn't really stand much of a chance. You know, they're generally overworked and undervalued because they're trying to do, you know, my PC's not working, right through to, well, we need to implement a new piece of integration. You know, the whole kind of crazy range of things that do need doing in tech. And it's almost impossible, I think, with lone people. We need to find ways of using teams and playing to strengths, really. It's so that we've got those different skill sets all current and pulling upon them and getting them to work together.
As you were speaking there, I thought to myself, in this current world that we live in now, there's all sorts of, when it comes to technology and new developments, AI, all of that sort of stuff, what do you see as some of the biggest fears that businesses talk about or have in mind around technology and those sorts of things?
I think many businesses do wonder how they're going to keep abreast of all of the changes and how to work out what they should be doing and to work out what value looks like. I think the staffing challenge is another one. So we're working with a business at the moment, lovely business, growing, and they have a very loyal IT person who's been with them for, you know, almost all of his career. And he himself is finding it quite stressful, actually, because the business is growing, needs to change, that they're probably going to implement a new ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning solution. He's not quite got the appetite for that at the state. You know, he's reducing down towards retirement. And so that trying to deal with as a project, how, which one should we choose? So it is very easy to be sold to. So we're independent, and that for me, that is the biggest reason why I'm with Freeman Clark, because we are not tied to any software, hardware or service organization. So, you know, there is so much out there in the market. How does a business know actually what are my requirements going forward? You know, what should I choose and how should I implement it, and how do I deal with in a responsible way with the stuff I've got and actually the needs of the business? So there's a whole complexity there around procurement, people, the technology itself, change management. I mean, you know, that the people change around systems is bigger than the system itself. And we sometimes get called in when the wheels have come off, when things have gone wrong, and businesses can spend a lot of money super quickly in the wrong direction. So, you know, I think most business leaders are rightly nervous of this space because there's a lot of horror stories.
Yeah, because
it's,
you
the
know,
unknown, isn't it?
It is.
And I think one of the interesting things that you mentioned there as well is when you know, early stage companies and you've got a single technologist, and obviously, like we said, there's a lot going on and they can't know anything, everything themselves. So then inherently that builds risk within that organization, doesn't it, as well? So then how do you overcome, you know, mitigating that risk, but the fear of doing something you don't know what you're doing? So it's the fear of the unknown, isn't it? And you're taking advice from somebody else. So how do you combat those challenges?
I think people have to become reassured and confident that we understand their business and we understand them. We've got enough sort of emotional intelligence to be able to sort of deal with the people side of things. And then I think it's about building trust. So we quite often start with something quite small and then build. And by small, that can often be maybe a couple of days a month, you know, time spread across the month to start looking at this roadmap, to start picking up supplier issues, you know, to start doing some mentoring with any internal teams, start to sort of look at cyber and security and compliance, and then sort of build. So because businesses can call us off, you know, half a day a week, whatever it is, it's a very low risk way of starting to move the needle on technology. So that way of working suits us. They can get to know us, we get to know them, and it build that kind of trust, really, that there's a good fit between us and the client.
Because, you know, even going back to the example you gave, you've got someone who's been within the business most, if not all, of their career, and they're looking now, looking at retirement. So they have a wealth of knowledge about the business, you know, its history, its vision and purpose and all of that sort of stuff. So you've got that could disappear out of the business. But this person is, you know, in terms of his life and his career journey, at a different stage to what the business is needing now. So how do you help businesses hold on to transition that period, hold on to or transfer all of that knowledge and passion for the business into the new people coming on board with that business? Do you work with them around the people side of things at all?
Very much so, Sandra. It's kind of our starting point. So I can think of three businesses at the moment that we're working with where we've got exactly this situation. So we've got one where the person that's working with data and reporting is leaving the business. They're leaving in September. So there is a period of time, 3 or 4 weeks, where we can kind of get our arms around the situation. We can work with that individual. We can get things documented. There's not a lot of documentation in place at the moment. So just understanding at high level, you know, and down to the detail, you know, the data they've got, you know, what does the FD need? What does the bank need on a monthly basis reporting wise? Making sure we stabilize those are the must-haves. And then that business wants to transition to, you know, dashboards, insight. They want to see the forecasts in the business in time to make adjustments before the actuals aren't right. You know, where are they losing margin? Where are the efficiency losses and so on? So that's the gig with that business. We've got another one where the incumbent is coming up towards finishing with the business. And it's about studying that individual, doing some mentoring, finding out what's right for him and the business. We're very much about round pegs, round holes, and helping people. We're quite often the starting point. It can be quite stressed. So we go in and, yeah, work with everybody for a good outcome. And then the third one, really interesting entrepreneur who has a brain the size of a planet, did data science, computer science at university. He's so frustrated as the leader of a growing business. It's got a real hockey stick growth chart, you know, going like that. He's no time. He knows that they're, you know, they've got some point solutions. They're not leveraging those solutions. They're using them 10%, 20%, that kind of level. And they don't talk to each other. And he knows this time next year, if something's not done, the manual intervention and the additional heads they'll need will make life even more complicated and margins will suffer. So, but he's so frustrated because he knows what he kind of wants to do, but no time to work on it. And he's saying his suppliers, you know, are disappointing and not delivering. He probably doesn't have time to communicate to them what he actually needs. They won't be able to get access to him time-wise. So it's a bit of a lose-lose. So he needs some help from some folk who can kind of make that into a win-win.
Yeah,
that's really interesting, Bibra, because it's recognizing, isn't it, that when you actually need that help as well. And I think, you know, regardless of the size of the business, you know, it's recognizing that you can't do it on your own, and actually that you're digging your hole deeper, and therefore it's going to get harder to get out of, isn't it, ultimately? So, you know, what is it that gives people that light bulb moment when they think, actually, I do need help and support here? And an example I'll give is that, you know, I see startup technologists all the time that think that they can do everything. So they build it, they sell it, they code it, they test it. And clearly, again, you know, they don't have all those skills, but don't seem to, that light bulb moment doesn't come very early to go, I actually need some help here to make sure I'm on that right trajectory, even in the first place.
That's a really good question, Leanne. We work with a lot of business coaches, and it's often the business coaches who are calling this stuff out with their client because they can see something. Whilst, as you say, that individual, you know, they're so immersed in, you know, these people are working 60 hours a week, aren't they? You know, they've often got young families, they've got, or, you know, family responsibilities, and they're trying to juggle, and they're so in it, they can't see it. Yeah. So for me, it's often a business coach. So at the moment, I'm personally doing some mentoring of a CTO who, you know, the business is frustrated, he's frustrated, But it is the business coach who's saying, right, let's try and bring in some external, you know, somebody who's got no, you know, completely independent, can just sort of see what's going on and start to try to help us. Would they have got there themselves? I guess they might have, but it might have been a crisis that brought it in, because that is often, sadly, you know, it takes a cyber incident, or it takes a somebody goes off sick because they just feel overwhelmed, you know, those sorts of crises. I love the sort of leadership events, and sometimes sitting with people at a leadership event, seeing a, you know, a leadership speaker. And you sometimes see those light bulb moments with people thinking, right, I didn't know that's what I needed, but actually that is what I need. And just that taking a step back and surrounding themselves with suitably trustworthy people will take some of this strain away.
So we have spoken quite a bit about Freeman Clark, and rightly so. That's you know, that's where you are. But I want to dig a little bit further. You know, who is Pippa Thomas?
That's a much more difficult question, Sandra, than talking about technology. I'm much more comfortable talking about that. Building teams is kind of been a, is something, it's taken me years to recognise that I really, really enjoy building teams. And so outside of tech, so I build teams in technology all the time, every day I'm involved with that, but also out of technology. So I do a number of kind of water related things. So I do sea rowing. I've recently become a coach. I organize rowing events. So this weekend that's just gone, I organized a trip up the Conwy River in North Wales. Wow. And three clubs came together. So I organised, you know, with some help from some others in the club, but putting together that event, getting the boats trailered to the right place, you know, all the stuff that you need, getting the right teams in the boat to have enough strength to get up the river. It's quite, don't know if you're familiar with Conwy, but the tide absolutely hoolies through. So you've got to have coxes who know what they're doing. So just making that whole thing come together, it's very much a team sport. So, yeah, building teams in work and out of work, I really, really enjoy. And I'm also volunteer for the lifeboat, the RNLI, Royal National Lifeboat Institute. And that's been one of the best things I've ever done. Being based in the Midlands, not close to the sea, it's taken me some years to find a way to spend enough time by the sea that I can, I mean, I can contribute financially on a monthly basis, but actually I now have two roles with the RNLI. In fact, I had my first shout as shore crew on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, Rib ran aground near Carnarvon, and I was part of the shore crew helping to get the boat on the water. And then my other role is more of an operational management role. So 24 hours a week, I have a slot where I need to be within 3 miles of the lifeboat station. And if we are needed, we're there to liaise with the Coast Guard and make sure we run the operation. So, yeah, number of things.
Yeah,
but isn't it? Because again, even rowing is very scientific, isn't it? In terms of, you know, the speed, the pace, who's got it, coordination of rowing. So there's like lots of alignment, isn't there, between, you know, your hobbies and actually what you do in a day job, I would say as well.
There is. There are. Yes, you're right. That there is. Yeah.
That's very interesting indeed. Yeah. What was there anything in particular that drew you to that? You know, that area of, I would say hobby, but it's work really, isn't it, as well? Although you know, it's a different type of work. What drew you to that?
Something about the sea that I find incredibly calming, soothing, just good for kind of mind, body, soul. You know, when I'm by the water or on the water, it's just an absolute tonic. And I notice that with other people around me, it seems to have a very similar effect. There's a real draw to it. And with the lifeboat team, I mean, it's a bit like a family. We all have this kind of common calling to the water as well. And I think volunteering, you just get so much more out of it than you can possibly put in. You know, that the benefits of, I suppose it's the combination of the sea and volunteering. You just get so much back from that. It's great.
That's wonderful.
What I always find fascinating as well, Pippa, is that, you know, obviously you all volunteer, yet you come together, and when there's a shout, everybody knows what they're doing. They all go out, they put themselves into danger, free of charge, to benefit somebody else and to save lives, basically. And I always find it fascinating that you see the power of these people coming together, but you don't get that in business when people are paid for it.
Yeah, so interesting. I hadn't really thought of it like that, but you're so right, Leanne. It's really humbling to see these people rush to the station and middle of the night, whatever the weather. You know, we had the pagers went off about 4:30 a few Fridays ago, and we were stood down quite quickly. But by the time we were stood down, we were all in our own kind of houses, homes, dressed. Some of us were partway to the station, and a team of us are rowing the London River Race, the great river race in London in September, to raise funds for the RNLI. And it just so happened, all of us in that rowing boat, we were due to train at like 10 to 7 in the morning, and we'd all responded to the page, and none of us could get back to sleep because the adrenaline cuts in.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to go to sleep after that. So we'd all been awake, and we all sort of pitched up into the compound. It's like 10 to 7 in the morning, thinking it's really quite funny, really, you know, but yeah, what are we all doing? But it's all good, all positive.
And I akin it to when you look at it in a business capacity, you don't get what I think is that, you know, in your, like, obviously volunteering role, you absolutely are really clear about what your roles are, what happens when that pager goes, and what the output is going to be. And I think that in businesses, that's missing a lot of the time, that clarity. And then that clarity leads to disjointedness, and the team then doesn't come together. Because I always find it amazing that in those areas, we're the same human beings, but we are, it's so much more powerful. And for me, it's all about the clarity about what we're there to do, when we do it, and when we act.
Yeah. That's so true. Common objective, absolutely. And transferring some of that to the business setting and bringing, and it's when I build teams in business and in technology, I very much use those same principles. And funnily enough, that's why the Lifeboat Association put me into the role I'm in as a launch officer, because it's an operational management role. You're responsible for the welfare of the team, interfacing with the public, liaising with the Coast Guard, doing all the governance compliance. You know, or it's very similar to the roles I do in business, and it's about everybody being aligned, knowing their job, delivering in a proper way, and accounting for everything that we do. And with business, it should really be the same, shouldn't it? Common goal. We're comfortable with what we're doing. We're calling it out if we see a problem. Okay, that didn't work quite as well as it should. What should we do going forward? What do we need to change? Safe environment where you debrief. I'm a great fan of daily stand-ups, particularly with businesses where we've got developers and people working remotely, you know, really keen on those sort of same principles. And we have a safe environment to discuss what's good, what's not so good, and doing something about it. Interesting.
And something that sort of I picked up on that you said earlier on when we talked a little bit about, you know, your early career, and that's come up in our conversations and your volunteer work with the RNLI, is having somebody there, or maybe a group of people, but at that position where they can have that oversight, look at people's skills, and move people into areas that best suit their skills. And maybe in some regard, that isn't always in place in business, because you kind of employ somebody to do A, but they may come in. And although they're doing A, you might find that they're good at D and E. And there's that lack of, number one, that knowledge and that ability to see. And then maybe the strength of mind to say, actually, this will you'll work better here for the business instead of there. What are your thoughts, I mean, around that?
Yeah, I really agree, Sandra. And I'm, fortunate enough that somebody noticed early on in my career that I would fit into sort of process and technology, which I don't think I would have ever applied for a role in that space. And I had a mentor, and they could see things that I couldn't see. And it's really, I mean, just life-changing for me. So one of the things I do with suitable clients and organisations is to bring in apprentices, and I'm working with three apprentices at the moment across our clients. Two of them are through effectively a software development apprenticeship, and during that time we've been able to see where their skills lie. One much more in the sort of reporting, Power BI, analytics space. One much more in the actual coding developer space. I've got a third one in now who's going through the program, and I really like these programs. I need to find an ethical apprentice provider who provides really, really good delivery, input, ways of working. I work with one, and it's actually all done virtually, and it works really, really well. But the business that supports that apprentice genuinely has to be able to offer experience in each of those modules and so on. So anyway, really keen on apprentice programs when they're done well, and then also working with people through their career to say, actually, let's think about where your skills might lie best. Let's think about what the next position is. Do we need to add in some experience to make that possible? Do we need to take some sideways moves? What is it that we need to do? And sometimes it is about helping people out of organizations into places they're going to be happier and they're a better fit. It is about finding the right thing for the, individuals.
I agree with you. I think if they're not doing the right job, then they're unhappy in the workplace as well. And it works two ways, doesn't it? Sometimes we take a job as the organization grows, we gravitate, we pivot into different roles, and it's not always right for us. And it just seems to happen rather than it being planned in some cases as well. And I think it's always looking at the behaviors and skills of each individual and saying, how can they help us achieve our ultimate goal and vision about where we're trying to get to?
Definitely.
Very
Definitely.
much.
And I think and what I feel coming from you, Pippa, is that level of what I would call leadership maturity, in the sense that unfortunately in businesses, leaders and managers, they're focused on doing what they're called to do in the business on a day-to-day. And in my work in training leaders and managers, I try to get them to understand that actually a part of your role is number one, identifying the skills of the people around you, but also helping them develop. And how you help them develop is, what we were just saying there, matching their abilities and their skills together with what the business wants, and being mature enough to look at that is your role as a leader. That's your manager as that's your role as a manager. And actually doing that is the best thing you can do for the business.
Yes, very much so. I think these things can be career changing, life changing, business changing for those leaders to have that kind of training, support, coaching. Because we don't, as individuals, we don't have all the answers, do we? We just don't.
No, great.
No, we all come from different life experiences, don't we? And that's why, I always say the sum of all the parts are greater than the sum of each individual, because we all have knowledges, experience, skills, and like collaborating on those is the best thing ever, isn't it? You just like learn and do so much more together.
Yes. And it's really enjoyable, isn't it?
It is.
It's
It is.
Working
It
as teams,
motivates
it's
you, gives you
great.
that buzz, doesn't it? You know, if you're working with other people and you're chatting and you're on the same page, it just seems to generate more energy, doesn't it?
It does. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, definitely. What would you say, Pippa? I know I'm throwing all these questions at you. What would you say that was probably maybe one or two things that, as an individual, and let's talk about you personally now, that really helped you to progress through your career? Because you've moved up the corporate ladder, you are director now. So if you were able to reflect back on your own career journey, what were the skills that you have, or the things about you that you think helped you to progress in your own career?
I suppose a little bit of pushing myself out of my comfort zone. So there's, I think you have to take some risks, have to sort of put oneself in positions where, that step up, you do need to kind of be the part, but you don't know everything about that part, do you? So having the confidence to surround oneself with people who are really good at what they do. I've learned more and more. I just surround myself with people who are so much better than me at everything, honestly. I learn from people every day. So having the confidence to not worry that somebody from your team is going to take your job. I'd always encourage people to think the opposite way to that. So go for things, listen to what people say. I have been so fortunate to have, that the big changes in my life and my career have come from people I know and trust saying to me, actually, I think you could do that. Why don't you consider that role? Would you do it? And then just going away, thinking about it, reflecting, not a knee-jerk reaction. It's so easy to say no through lack of confidence. Not enough self-belief, these kind of things. A lot of us, I think, struggle with self-belief. I think a lot of women struggle with this, but having that confidence, if somebody gives you an opportunity, actually trying to find a way to say yes and giving it a go, and then taking people's help to make that a success. Yeah. So reaching out to people, listening to what they say, reflecting on it, doing something about it. And pushing oneself a bit out of, in my case, my comfort zone.
It's the only way we're going to learn and
Yes.
develop, isn't it? We've got to keep pushing to be able to learn and develop ourselves, really, which does feel uncomfortable, but no, like completely agree with you there. So excellent. I think it is, we're presented with those opportunities, aren't we? We've got to spot them and identify them and grasp them, really, when we see them. And interestingly there as well, the bit that you said about, like surrounding yourself with other people, my ethos in life has always been, in a job, try and make yourself redundant, because it makes your life easier if you've got great people around you. And I see so many leaders in the work that I do, like fearful of doing that. And it's this fear of like giving up some knowledge, or this fear of, and it's weird, isn't it, how some people operate very, very differently. And all you're doing is creating more stress for yourself, because you are the sole person then that knows it and can do it. And this whole thing about knowledge is power. It's like, to whom, if it's just your knowledge? There's no power there, is there? The power of knowledge is when we share it.
Absolutely, yeah, totally agree with that. I think, from a business's perspective, trying to get people to think, yeah, it's not about all one person, is it? Once that business is growing and developing, trying to get that founder to embrace others, and no one person feeling it's all about them.
That is a
Absolutely.
scary place for a lot of founders. But at some point, if the business is growing, it will get to that position that you have to, as you say, push yourself out of your comfort zone and think about what's best for this child in terms of the business that you birthed. If it's to mature and to grow, you're gonna have to step back and give it some space at some point.
Just my one last question then, Pippa, before we bring it to a close. What do you do to mentor and encourage other females into that tech space?
I've recently started a technology mentoring of a volunteering role. So it's with the READ organization. So we've got a number of female CIOs, CTOs in Freeman Clark, and we have volunteered to help. So we're doing that through that kind of vehicle. And then I'm also doing it when business coaches ask me to do some mentoring, then I will do that. So the CTO I've recently been speaking with. So so I'm very keen to spend time supporting females who want to progress in technology, and in fact men as well, of course,
Yeah,
but both.
fantastic. Fantastic.
Okay, so I've got one last question, and this is about your future. What does your future look like for you? What would you like?
Ooh, I don't look too far ahead, Sandra, actually. I just always feel very grateful if people are, family, healthy and happy, and the same in business, really, that we've got, people who are a good fit for the roles they're doing, and that is a real blessing. Spending time on the water, personally, that's a I'm challenging myself with some bigger boat adventures at the moment, well out of my comfort zone there. So doing a bit more of that. And then on the technology space, just carrying on really with building teams, working with more clients, maturing the business that we've got in the Midlands. Actually, that is one of my goals. So moving that on to the next level. We're a bit of a well-kept secret. I'm quite keen to change that.
Yeah, so some good things to look forward to and be intentional about as well. So yes, I like that. Thank you. Great.
Thank you. And it's been great speaking to you, Pippa. And thank you for joining us on our podcast. It's been great talking to you today. And you're sharing your journey and your experiences. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, and lots of wisdom there as well. So thank you, Pippa. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it.